The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. And we are here for the next 4 hours on ESPN 97.5. We got, this is a bombshell. And it's a bombshell that looks like it could be a dud, which would be
a bombshell that could be a dud.
It could be a dud. It is interesting. In the last 24 hours, I did have multiple sources that I trust tell me the teams believe Russell Westbrook could be had, that Westbrook could be had. And I've heard the Clippers have interest. I've heard the Knicks have interest in Westbrook. And whether anything materializes there, who knows? Who knows? But the fact is that there's a belief that a guy like Westbrook could become available. Kevin O'Connor. Now, Tillman Fertitta.
Oh, he's available.
Oh, really?
Could become available.
Tillman Fertitta, last month. This is still our window, the next couple of years. James and Russell are in their early 30s. We're not blowing up anything. We plan on contending. Steven Silas. First Take last week. As far as James, he's our guy. In the interview process, I talked to both James and Russell to let them know the reason why I wanted this job was because of them. I expect these guys to be here. What? Well, listen, that change if the Clippers give you a package for...
Yes. Yes. Fast rewind to Chris Paul. We are not doing anything. Chris Paul is here.
But that was, I think... A little bit different because Chris Paul had to go. Russell Westbrook doesn't have to go.
Right, but why would they keep saying that stuff when
Well, I think they were trying to put on the good face. They were trying to save face for James because James, you know, hated Chris Paul. I think they were trying to hide that whole thing.
Yeah, but that the report came out. There's no, you just don't comment on it. You don't have to come out and comment on everything.
Well, right, there's but no, they no but, comment. But
because Chris wanted out. This is where Russell.
But I know for a fact.
Right.
This is different though.
But here's the thing. If you can't get a deal done, you don't want Russell thinking that he was almost
No, right, right.
I think you just keep, yeah, no, Russell's are, and plus that's a month
ago. Well,
that's
ago. What you're, then you're like, contradicting yourself.
Well, no, a month ago you said that, so it may not have even popped up on Tillman's radar a month ago.
Well.
Because who thinks that you could get rid of Chris, who thinks you can get rid of Russell Westbrook?
Nobody.
Who, I'm like, I wouldn't have thought that.
Never.
That had to just pop up. And
got
that
135
had to like,
million left on this thing.
Yeah, there's no way people would have thought that.
Who, if you want Russell Westbrook and you're going to take all that salary, go.
Yeah, but can you imagine what's coming back?
Well, you're gonna have, money's got to come back.
I know, you're getting more bad deals.
Yeah, well, but here's the deal. You're not winning anyway. This window thing and this, we you know, we think we got a chance.
Yeah, that's not. You have a chance to be, you have a chance to be a playoff team. Yeah, obviously.
And I think this would feed right into everybody who thinks Tillman is cheap, right? I mean, oh, well, he just got rid of Russ to get rid of the money. You ain't winning nothing with this. I would much rather take on a couple expiring contracts of guys who couldn't play than have Russ for the next 3 years here.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not a money thing. Basketball thing.
Yeah, it's just, and it's time to try to go in a different direction. Like, nobody wants to go in a different direction. Everyone wants to, oh, I don't want to lose games. I don't want to. Yeah, but if you don't, it's inevitable. At some point, if you know you're not building towards a championship, which the Rockets aren't right now, they've hit a dead end, and I would say they're more likely to not compete than they are to compete. Then you have to take your lumps. I mean, that's just how it goes. Teams go through those stages. Well, I don't know why Houston.
It's a very Texan way. They got no draft picks.
Right.
They got a roster of guys who are not living up to their contracts, except one guy, like Deshaun. They've got one guy who's living up to his contract, and that's James. Otherwise, everybody's overpaid, just like the Texans. No draft picks. So the future is, if you want to know the truth, bleak. But do you think they really believe this thing? What if they really believe? Well, we've got this window open.
Oh, it's possible.
I can't believe that.
It's possible they do. Yeah, people, it's possible they see it. I mean, you know, they were in the second round against the Lakers.
How'd that work
out? It's just not, James is still playing at an extremely high level. Russ definitely had his moments this last year. It's just that, I mean, Drayton tried to hang on with this window that he thought he had, and you end up missing the boat.
Carlos Lee window?
Yeah, well, I mean, after they went to the World Series, but they had no offense. You know, they basically weren't really in contention. And all the players they had that had trade value, they kind of just they lost all their trade value with those players. Yeah. For Roy, for Lance Berkman, they lost a lot of trade value. And they kept trying to – Drayton was too afraid of losing because he thought it would hurt season ticket sales. The reality is your season ticket sales are never better than when you win. And sometimes you have to do tough stuff to win. Like, you got to take a step back to take two steps forward.
Well, Drayton is like the Rockets owner is in that, oh, no, I ain't doing what Jim Crane did, three straight years of nothing.
Right, and I don't think you have to do three straight years of nothing, the baseball model, but because you don't have as many players as you count on. But I think Drayton and Tillman are the same in this way. Look, they are businessmen who have retail outlets in essence. You know, the grocery stores and for Tillman it's customer service with restaurants and hotel and casinos. So he doesn't want for his immediate customers to not have a good product. But are you just trying to? So are you trying to build a title to cheer for? Which is basically he's like building a new casino. So it's not open right now. So you have to, you know, it's going to take a while for it to open. It has to be built. That's how he really needs to look at this. It could be a big cat. It could be a big cash grab. You know, you have a new team, new stars. Ask the Astros. Look at the Astros. It can be invigorating. But, you know, I guess it's scary to them. Like, the idea that they couldn't possibly part with James is kind of crazy to me after all these years. And he definitely has value in trade piece. It's crazy to me that they wouldn't consider that.
No.
But sometimes I wonder if they just wouldn't even consider it.
I don't know. Well, here's the deal is, okay, so they're, I mean, this is so layered with James. I mean, is James, would you, are you, as opposed to Chris Paul, who he couldn't stand and he's got to go, you know, is he, you know, so tied at the hip with his LA guy and Russell Westbrook that, you know what, this is where I don't give a rat's ass if we win or don't win. I'm playing with a guy I want to play with and he's another star and, this is, you know, let's do this thing because I really like him, and if you trade Russ, then you're telling James F you, and you know what, and maybe that's a way to get out of this whole thing. Maybe that's a way to do the restart on this whole thing. The second thing is, do they really believe that Russell Westbrook and James Harden can win a championship? That this is a championship. This is a foundation for a championship. I don't think so. I've seen Tillman after they've lost. It was a couple of years ago when they lost to Golden State, and he was pissed and questioning stuff like we question. He was questioning stuff like we question. And the fact of the matter is I think, and with all the money, with the COVID and how many fans you're going to have and everything else, to get out of a $40 million deal, that's not going to win anyway. Maybe people differ on this. I don't know. Do you guys think that Russell Westbrook and James Harden is a championship foundation?
Here's the better question. This is for Rockets fans. Here's our number, 713-780-3776. Because I think that's how you should be asking your question. Yeah. That to me. But let me ask it this way, because I've noticed fans can sometimes look at it differently. Would you rather the Rockets, quote-unquote, compete, which would be doing what they did this year, right? Second round of the playoffs, having a chance, you know, putting yourself in the playoffs, putting yourself in the tournament, having games that are more exciting, winning in the 50. Well, if this were an 82-game schedule, you know, winning, you know, 40, let's just say since it's 72, 40-plus games. Would you rather see what you had last year, or would you rather move in a different direction and give yourself a chance to rebuild something new? What would you rather see? Because I think a lot of fans actually would. I don't know if our listeners, because they're kind of maybe more in tune with what we talk about. But I think a lot of people would rather say, hey, I don't want to start over. I'd rather watch this. But, you know, ultimately it leads to frustration. Ultimately it leads to what you have with the Texans this year is some of it has been fool's gold in the past. I don't know if I'll say fool's gold, but the Rockets, and this was the first year with Russ, maybe you can make the argument that year two would be better between those two guys. But I am curious if you Rocket fans out there listening right now, 713-780-3776, just real quick, would you rather see them go in a different direction, or would you rather see them sit tight and try to just keep chipping away with what they have and trying to make a deal here or there to make the team better. Very interested in your thoughts. I'll check Twitter as well, at Lance Zierlein, at John Granato.
I'm on Twitch as well. So if you've got any thoughts on Twitch, you're more than welcome to do that.
Are you bet ready to push Coors Light again? Are you doing the Twitch thing?
No, I'm just on Twitch. Okay. I like the Twitch people. The Twitch people are up. They're already active. And I'm on. Hello, Twitch people. What you think? So that's my peeps. The Twitch people are my peeps. You don't know anything about it. You're too highfalutin with
you,
Twitter.
You, Fred, and AJ are you always on Twitch.
Twitter. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Moira. All right. Moira Rose.
That's
with you and all of your people on Twitter.
Yeah.
Why do all of your people on the Twitch always say such negative things? Daniel, David. Moira, I love Moira from Schitt's Creek. Just love her.
I thought you were talking about
Moira. Moira Rose. Why are there so many? They see such terrible things on the Twitch and on Twitter.
Dale, you remember that? And you went on
the reference.
I've seen like two episodes.
Yeah,
I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
That's all y'all seen?
Got off it. Yeah.
Of Moira? Oh, y'all missed out.
Well,
the show gets better and better and better.
Yeah, I don't know.
Actually, I don't think John can watch that show.
Why?
There's just scenes that I think you would struggle with.
7-Eleven, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-377. I think that was a jab at me.
I'm pretty sure
it was a jab.
That was a jab at you. Now, I got a different jab for people out there, and it's called Site Jab. It's a chance to punch up your website. And websites are so important. They are your information center where customers come to a website for big business, but I'm talking to small and medium-sized businesses right now. They come to your site because they want to know what you're about. They want to see what work you've done. They want to know how to interact and get a sense of who you are. If your website doesn't do a good job of either displaying who you are with pictures, with content, with videos, if it's not easy to get through with a clean, smooth user interface that's mobily optimized, because most processing of websites now is done through tablet or through cell phone, mostly cell phone, then that's a problem, because the people who are consuming your website are going to subconsciously kind of downgrade you, especially when they're looking at your competition. You want to have a website that looks great and that can convey the work that you do in a very clear, concise manner, and you want that website to really to pop. And that's something they can do for you, 100%. 3 to 6 weeks is all it takes. They've been doing websites for over 2 decades. They've kept up with the times, and they do some phenomenal work for you. They can even integrate e-commerce if you have kind of transferred your business angle more towards the internet and more towards virtual sales. They can do that for you as well. Go to sitejab.com, sitejab.com.
For over 1,000 years, Roman conquerors returning from the wars enjoyed the honor of a triumph, a tumultuous parade.
Saluting all the men and women who served our nation. Happy Veterans Day.
We are citizens of an American nation.
From ESPN.
Sir, yes, sir.
97.5.
Hey, guys, Lance Zierlein here. And wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. New direction. We tried small ball. It failed. Move on, new strategy. That's five. No, I don't think James and Russ are a championship team. That's six. So anyone want to keep it going? Take as many shots with Harden as you can, especially with new. Take as many shots. There's one. Take as many shots with Harden as you can, especially with new regime. Mm-hmm. That's 6-1. What do you got over there with your
Twitter?
Why do you have this Twitter? I'm kind of locked out of my own computer.
Oh, so you don't have any.
At this point, I can't even get to anything.
Hey, good news, though, for everybody. JT Watkins, you'll remember him.
Is he a golfer?
The former Red Sox video replay coordinator.
You mean one of the worst guys in baseball history?
No. He was suspended for the 2020 season, but he's back to work for the team as a pro scout. That's so awesome.
So he got a raise. So he got elevated.
Because like a good soldier, he fell on his sword.
Yeah, exactly.
He took all the heat. Nobody else got any
punishment. Most people get fired and demoted.
He lied, and he lied because he never gave up. He didn't give. Hey, Omerta, okay? He never gave anybody up. So guess what happens? He gets to go. He probably makes three times what he was making as a replay coordinator as now a pro scout. Congratulations to JT Watkins.
How brazen is all of Major League Baseball now?
It's the worst.
They know that there's no heat on them. They can do whatever they want. The guy who was the mastermind behind the Red Sox scandal of using technology, which you're not supposed to use.
And he's back. And he's, you know what?
You're not supposed to use technology, right?
He was giving signs to the players.
Were they using technology?
Yes. Oh. But Alex Cora had no idea. He didn't have any idea. How about this? The dude gets a job back with the team.
You're in video and you're circumventing the manager. You're circumventing the manager
yes.
to give stuff to the players. And you know what you get for being, for disobeying and for
embarrassing the organization,
you get elevated.
I don't know what you guys are freaking out about because that happened to me. I got fired here for embarrassing the organization.
Did you embarrass the organization?
Yeah, I didn't give up anybody. I was pressed on what is going on behind the scenes here. I didn't give up anyone,
mm-hmm.
and I got brought back a couple years later. Except it wasn't three times my salary. It's pretty much the same what I was making before.
Well, right. See, you're not JT Watkins.
No. But same thing happened to me.
So what kind of questions were you asked on your exit? Your exit poll?
They're like, talk about John a little bit. I was like, what do you mean talk about John? We know he's done some things. Just tell us. I was like, what are you talking about?
That was not a question.
You don't know. You weren't there.
I was there.
No, you weren't.
Okay.
It was right. Like,
Dell didn't give you up.
You can keep your job.
Oh, I know Dave Tepper didn't want me here, though. That's probably true.
You can keep your job if you give me
something. I wasn't ESPN 97.5 material.
You weren't worthy.
Like, he didn't want you?
No. He did not want me
it's
here.
It's like I said, what do you want from me? I'll give you things on John. You're just not asking me specific questions.
So I started dropping racist on him. Okay.
On Dell?
No, not on me. No.
On Dave Tepper. Why'd you fire Dell? You racist?
He was using the race card. John used the race card for you.
I didn't even use the race card.
In his defense. You know what? I'm Beltran.
Did it work?
He's Alex Cora.
Did it work?
Huh?
No.
Did it work?
No.
No, it didn't work. Although Dave Tepper didn't leave too long. Well, how long after? How long were you out?
Was it a year and a half, 2 years? I don't remember exactly what it
was.
He
got
a
new job. As soon as Dave Tepper left, I go, call Dell.
But didn't he get a new job in like Nebraska or something?
Yeah. He was he's the PD for like I don't know if he's still there, but like four stations.
So it's an upgrade?
Well, in Lincoln?
That's what I'm asking you.
Well, it was actually he was the GM of a cluster or he was the PD of a cluster.
So somebody who got rid of Dell got promoted.
Right.
In a way.
As well you should.
I just want to be considered a stand up guy because I was asked things. I was like,
He kept his mouth shut. Didn't give up anyone. You know, he took his first pinch like a man.
Yeah, I took it. All right.
Listen to me. Don't tell them nothing. Don't tell them. Don't tell them your
what
friends.
It is.
Hey, hey.
And don't tell your friends and don't give them nothing.
Listen. And then they after he got out, when he came back.
You broke your cherry.
Yeah.
Hey.
As walking down the steps of the courthouse.
Yep. Was it John that pinched the cigarette, that took the cigarettes?
Yep.
Was he the one on in the pinch? Was he stealing cigarettes when he got pinched?
Still not talking.
Oh.
Don't talk. Attaboy, Del.
There's the code.
Attaboy.
There's the code.
713-780-3776.
So what you're telling me is that people would rather see the, here I'm getting on Twitter right now, but you're saying that people would rather move on than keep this
lie. 6-1. Nepotism. Del is no rat. I like that.
We've missed playoff. No. I keep Del's getting these no rat. Houston.
No, Del's one of us. Me and Del. Me and Del.
I mean, I can't be fully one of yours because I wasn't born a certain way. I mean, I'm not all the way in.
Well, you can't be a made man.
Yeah, I'm not a made man.
You can't be a made man ever.
I'm there. Yeah.
Okay.
I definitely wouldn't be one.
One of our listeners today just said this, and I'm going to give up his name for obvious reasons. He says, I made my first delivery this morning, and the manager showed me all of her thong when she unlocked the trailer.
Hmm.
Married, but it was a nice thing to see. So this guy's just saying, I'm not going to say who it is, but he's just saying, hey, guys, I just wanted you guys to know that this is how my day got started.
Did he
off.
Take a pic?
I got a little thong shot.
Did he take a pic?
I'd hope not. I think that's when it becomes illegal.
What are you talking about?
You mean kind of like upskirt shots?
No, that's not an upskirt shot. She's showing, okay?
It's accidentally. It's like if butt crack comes out. You're not doing it on purpose.
You think that butt crack thing is accidentally?
Do
you think those plumbers are accidentally? I think they're showing you.
I caught some at HEB 2 days ago.
A couple days ago too. I'm like, oh,
come on,
I think
you're
doing that on purpose.
They're sending a signal.
Got his ass halfway up his back. Like, how is this even possible? His pants look like they're in a regular place.
They're just asking for this.
LSU fan came and stuck his finger in my booty.
Like, hey man, I kind of like that.
But this guy's just telling us. He goes, hey, I just want you to know, I got to see a thong already on my first. Like, good for him. There you go. You get your date. Who knows what's going to happen in delivery two? Keep hope alive.
As a former delivery driver, but I was doing it for pizzas, I got that happened a couple of times.
What?
Yeah.
Like what?
Some woman, I was in the name. It was actually, I just.
She bent down to get her purse?
The pizza boy angle?
Yeah.
What happened, Del?
Well, a woman came down and let's say she came down in lingerie, but not just any lingerie. Lingerie where the holes were cut out where the boobs would be.
What?
So she came down.
What?
And I'm like.
Came down from where? Was it an apartment?
No, it was at a home. And she came down, or house, and she came down the steps. And she didn't answer the door. The weird part about it was there was like a 9-year-old and a grown man who were there. And I guess they put her up to it. And she comes down and she goes, hi. And I'm like, hi. The 9-year-old's like, that's funny. Just laughing the entire time. I'm like, what kind of weird thing is going on here?
I don't want to let this pass. This is, and by the way, kids, don't put your mom up to this if you're listening.
I don't think it was her mom. I think it was like the boyfriend and the girl and then maybe the younger sister or something.
Wait. Hold on.
Wait a minute. What now? What?
Oh, younger sister would be the 9-year-old.
Yeah.
So how old was the person who answered the door?
Probably in her 20s. 20.
And how old was the man?
They were all giggling?
How old was the man?
He was in that age range, too. I think they might have been taking care. I don't know what the situation was, but there were two adults and then like a little kid who was laughing at the entire thing. I was like.
And she came, and it was cut out? Like you could see everything?
Yes.
Like Janet Jackson style, but no pasties?
Yes.
And a 9-year-old is sitting there laughing because of not. Yeah, see, that can't be. That's my mom.
No, it wasn't her mom.
Did y'all? All right, this is an interesting story, but did y'all see John Rahm skip it?
Yes, John, but this is way better than John Rahm
skip it on 16 and make a hole in one.
Yes, that's a great shot. But
look at that. Oh.
I think the people would rather, instead of hearing about John Rahm's shot, hear about how Del had somebody topless come.
Did they invite you in or anything?
No, it's just to let's shock the delivery boy. Yeah. That's
let's
all
make
it was.
You uncomfortable.
And how did and was there
and
a tip?
What did Pizza Boy do?
Pizza Boy was sitting in the corner just watching.
You were just giggling?
Not me. The guy was sitting in the corner watching. Pizza Boy's like, that's fine, but
here.
You kind of
got. I bet you were just like, here you go.
Did you get a tip?
Because you're a little shocked because she wasn't at the door. I was giving them the pizza or the little girl the pizza or whatever, and then the woman just comes down the steps, and the little girl's like, it's funny. I was like, yeah,
This seems inappropriate, but
it was completely inappropriate.
Would you what's a normal tip for a pizza person?
It depends on the
person.
Price.
I don't say pizza guy, I say pizza person.
That's fine. That's correct. It depends on the bill. So usually it's about 15 to 20% of the bill.
Is it really 20% of the bill?
Sometimes, delivering pizza? Depending on who you're delivering to.
Then why do we get hit with delivery charge?
Well, they tell you delivery charge isn't a tip.
Oh no, they make sure and tell you that. I'm like, so why am I
Because so that they can charge more for the pizza.
Well, at my place.
That's all it is.
At the place I work, Double Dave's, the delivery charge was actually, it did go into the driver's pocket. It was considered gas. You got a dollar, like the delivery charge was a dollar, and that went into the driver's pocket for gas.
Oh, that's nice.
So, yeah, they gave it to us.
All right, 727.
Oh, you got your dollar. Well done.
Nice.
Yeah, and then you throw in a couple of extra shekels.
You know, you get a five. You go back
then,
you probably get a
five. You got to see the.
You get five, 6 bucks, 7 bucks.
Kind of. I mean, was it worth seeing? You kind of.
To be honest, I'd been like, could you just give me $5 instead of this terrible show?
I'd rather not have the show.
Yeah.
Where was it? What city was it?
What was the address?
I don't remember.
What city was it in?
It was in Leak City.
Oh.
What does that mean? Oh, no.
No, you ain't going to have anything good there.
It's a suburb.
There's not going to be anything good to watch.
Nothing good in Leak City when you see that. Whoa. That's what they always say. That's the saying that's out there.
I know. Like,
when you see those,
we ain't going to League City to see them.
Yeah,
Actually,
that's a thing that's been out for a long time.
That's been out there.
The underlying joke is, speaking of pepperoni,
have you ever done any plumbing work too? Tell us about when you went to somebody's house as a plumber.
So when you were a carny, what about that?
No, the carny stuff was more people just pooping in the golf
course. Oh,
yeah, carny stuff is going to be terrible.
You know what's great though? Coors Light. When you're at a carnival, when you're not at a carnival, when you're doing anything, I don't care, when you're playing poker, when you're playing golf, the official beer of all of those things. For me, it's the official beer. It's the official beer of everything. Hey, Twitch people, you see my Coors Light right there? What? That's right. I got cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. The mountains aren't blue there. You can tell my laptop isn't cold. You can tell right now because it's not. The mountains aren't blue. But when you get your can or bottle, you can see it's amazing technology that it turns blue. And so you got cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. And I'm telling you, it's the world's most refreshing beer. It is Texas Chill. You're looking for the best way to relax, to have fun, to drink, and be refreshed all in one. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
7:30 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. What are you guys doing on Master's Eve? You guys going to have a... Is your family over?
I'm going to have some different types of juices.
No wonder you're a little edgy.
For day three.
You seem awake, though.
I'm telling you now, you do get more energy when you do this, for sure. Plus, I'm bringing my own coffee from home.
Sleep better?
I buy the Starbucks. Yeah, I got that. Well, I'm on Peaky Blinders. I stayed up until 11, like 20. I'm using a CPAP machine now, which helps.
Yeah.
And then I'm watching Peaky Blinders. I had to stay up on the iPad watching. I'm on season 4 of Peaky Blinders, so it's only 6 or 7 episodes. I didn't realize you can get through it so quickly for a season.
A season. You would hope this season you get through quickly. It's Adrian Brody's season. He sucks. It's terrible. His Italian is just terrible.
They've really come up, the Peaky Blinders, though. I mean, when you see where they started and where they are now with all their money and their nice suits and everything, the Peaky Blinders really came up now.
They can dress.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Kind of pissed off that I didn't. My son could have totally been a Peaky Blinder if I'd seen this show 4 years ago. I would have made Snacks.
Would have put the razor blade in his cap?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Snacks would have been a Peaky Blinder seen this 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he could still be a Peaky Blinder next year.
Yeah, he could.
To dress like them. He's a dresser, Snacks, now.
Well, yeah, he actually is. Although he likes to look more like if Calvin Murphy was a Peaky Blinder. He likes to dress like Calvin Murphy. Like, that's what he thinks is the sharpest. Man, I want to wear something like this to church. I'm like, okay, then we need to go to a down-home Baptist church.
Let's go.
I'm not sure that it's hitting like that at the Catholic church.
Oh, no.
Because Snacks is like,
love that, Lance.
I showed him something. I said, would you get this? It was on the rack in the Galleria. He goes, yes, absolutely. If they had this for a kid size, I said, would you wear this to church? He goes, yeah, for sure. This really is flashy. That's his whole thing. He wants to be flashy.
Yeah.
Hat. I mean.
I was at the Galleria yesterday, and I stopped. Oh, I like those shoes. Those are good. Walked in there. Hey, how much are these? $835. That's enough. That's enough. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, you're in some shoe shop.
Yeah. No. It was a men's store. I was like, what the bleep?
Oh, it wasn't tennis shoes.
Yeah.
Oh.
No. And, well, they were like tennis shoes.
Bruno Mollies?
But I don't know what they were. But I'm like, is that where we're at now? $835 for these shoes?
Yeah, welcome to the women's fashion.
No, we'll get, yeah.
I'm saying, it's so like, what are y'all doing?
My wife has spent, I don't even
want. How much are these t-shirts?
What? These gym shoes?
$265 for a t-shirt?
Are you on these Golden Goose gym shoes for women?
No.
Yeah, what are they? $600-$700.
What do they do for you?
And they look like crap. They make them look like they're beat up.
What do they do for you?
Okay, you wear them and everybody says, oh, you got the nice $700 shoes.
That just means, oh, look how much money you have. That's your drip.
You spent.
Look at your drip. Look at your fit. You've got so much money. Kind of like Supreme. You throw the Supreme on a t-shirt. Okay, guys. This t-shirt is now going to cost you $187 mm-hmm. or whatever, $185. Whoa. This is a white t-shirt. Yeah, but Supreme. Wait a minute. You just have it printed across. It just says Supreme on a hat. Why is this hat $85? Supreme.
$85?
Supreme.
Man, if there says nothing on them, they're $250.
Yeah, you're probably right.
No. So there's a guy on here. Now there's an argument on Twitter on how to tip. This guy says, I don't believe in tipping. Restaurants should pay a wage like every other job.
Well, until they do.
Well, they don't, though.
But they don't.
They don't, though, Smashing Pumpkins. So it's a tip, okay? Tip your waiter.
Would you guys be okay with that if it's like in Europe where they do, where they build it into, they pay them a wage and they build it? I would be fine with that.
If what? They paid them a wage and yeah.
Yeah. But there's some places in New York.
It adds on to your bill.
Well, yeah. I mean, you add it onto the food cost,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you knew and you didn't have to mess with it and whatever it cost on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would be fine with that.
But
I've heard waiters would be okay with it, too. They at least know what they're making.
I think waiters now and everybody now, it looks like, you know what? If $15 might be for everybody. There's nobody can make less than $15.
That's
going to be the
minimum wage.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean waiters, too?
Waiters, too.
They can't do that. Then they'll have to get away from the tip structure.
Well, guess what? That's right. That'll change the tip structure.
Well, not really. People will just keep doing 20%. It'll be the best. Your waiter will be one of the top.
Not according to Twitch right here, it's not.
What does Twitch say?
I'm barely holding on to my job. I want to support local business so I buy carryout. I shouldn't be in these times, yet I'm still expected to tip.
What do you?
I didn't dine in. Why should I tip? Especially 18 to 20%.
Carryout's trickier. I do 10%.
I tip, yeah.
I do like 10%, and sometimes I've done less than that. On at restaurants, I'll do 20%.
Absolutely.
It does feel like
eat, right?
It does feel like waiters
got to eat too.
Waiters turning into a hell of a job to make money. My son, like Drake, would talk about days he'd make $300 or $400 waiting at the table. I'm like,
Nick says these people make money now.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Yeah,
and I thought during the pandemic, and I heard about people making money during pandemic because you have fewer waiters there, so you might have the same amount of. I don't know. Maybe people are feeling bad. People who aren't getting hit financially and who are going out are feeling bad for the waiters. Like, here, I'm going to give you a little something extra. Maybe that's happening too.
Yep.
Tipping on to-go's like.
But yeah. It's not as easy to do, but you do it. You do it because you're helping those people didn't have a job for a while.
Do you tip at Starbucks?
Absolutely.
Do you tip at McDonald's?
No.
Okay. Now I got to go True Romance. I mean, not True Romance, but Reservoir Dogs. Yep. Why does one person get tipped and the other one doesn't? Are they not both working?
Well,
is the fry cook not back there? And
yeah, but there's
tougher conditions.
I don't think McDonald's, or is this harder? You put a tip jar out there.
Is this harder?
Tip jar doesn't come out there.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing a tip jar. At
well, actually, well, you can help children. Actually, there's probably jars to help children.
Yeah, actually, barista is a more skilled position than taking the McNuggets off the shelf.
Is it more skilled in terms of when they just pull down the lever to get the hot coffee?
I don't get that kind of coffee. I get the fancy coffee.
And what do they do? What does the barista do? Are they French pressing the coffee for you?
They're pouring milk in.
They pour it and they put milk in.
Are we skill shaming the baristas?
Do you tip 20% for Smoothie King?
I don't.
Or do you tip for Smoothie King?
You know, I tip at a lot of counters. McDonald's, I never go to.
That's just the Reservoir Dogs. But it is funny how we have different.
Right.
Like, well, how is Smoothie King different from Starbucks? It's not. They actually, I would argue, many times they're doing more work.
Yeah. Well, I tip
Smoothie
them.
King.
Like, and your Roostar, I tip them.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. Well, to go.
Yeah. No, even if I sit down. I sat there and ate, and I tip them.
I think I do. I can't.
And this is a good thing, too. When you play golf, my uncle, he throws a couple of bucks because the guy's got to clean out your cart when it's done. He throws a couple of bucks in that thing that holds the scorecard on the steering wheel.
Oh, I didn't even think
he
about
throws,
that.
Yeah, he throws a couple bucks in there for the guy. And I'm like,
who does that?
That's my Uncle Timmy. You remember Uncle Timmy?
Yeah. Do you do that?
I have a couple of times.
Yeah.
But I never thought about that. I don't do it nearly enough. But, yeah, not only I forget where else I was going to say that at Jason's Deli, you eat.
Are you always supposed to tip 20% on everything?
You leave a couple of bucks for the guy that picks up your tray.
No, no. I never heard of that.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. We're not doing that. Although I did leave like a dollar or two at like Double Days, and that's a buffet. I'm doing all the heavy lifting on this thing.
Right. Well, but yeah. I mean, all that exercise you're getting.
Yeah, as you're raising a crust to your face.
Yeah, and you say more pepperoni.
Chocolate chip pizza out. Hey. Hot chocolate chip pizza out.
Hey. Let's go, guys. Yeah. Put a dollar down.
Hey, where are the fresh cheese sticks, sir?
Excuse me, dude. When is the cheese stick stromboli coming out, please?
Can I get the Philly check? The Philly cheesesteak stromboli, please.
Thanks. The cherry stromboli, could it be out soon, please? Thank you.
That's the strudel.
If you ask for pepperoni rolls, a little well done, a little bit, a little crispy, then yeah. Okay.
I don't know if they do that for the
buffet.
You
throw them a couple bucks.
In fact, I worked out of Double Days, and I don't think we made those. You could make a request for pizza.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the well-done pepperoni rolls
were a little bit. Leave it in there a little longer.
You could ask to warm up the sauce.
That's like, all.
If you want.
Oh, Jesus makes a good point. It'd be nice to see an Eyelids for Kids collection case at Mickey D's. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Do you tip?
Do you tip your movers?
Do you tip at Randall's when you are, or not tip, but when they ask you when you're paying, would you like to give a dollar for people to actually eat and stuff?
Eyelids for kids.
That would be a good place for eyelids for kids.
I have done that before. Not often, though.
No?
No.
Yeah.
Like, I give people out in the street money. I'm like, I'm just going to give this guy who's, so he won't mess with my windshield.
That's a preventative measure.
Yeah, I'm going to give a preventative tip so I don't get mean mugged. I feel bad I feel like rolling down saying, listen, I gave a friend of yours, I'm assuming, a tenner the other day. I should be good with your community for a little bit. So please don't just stare right into my car directly at me and make me take a fake phone call. Like, here he comes. Here comes this guy. Hello?
Oh, I love taking...
What's going on with this fake phone call I'm on?
I love taking circuitous routes when I see someone who might be
when I used to walk through... You know, one of the good things about COVID?
Oh.
We don't say this a lot, but one of the good things is that when I walk through the mall, there's not a whole lot of mall kiosks for them to act like carnival barkers and come attack me about the Israeli sea salt is going to make my skin... Excuse me, sir. Come here. Excuse me. Would you like to? No. What are you trying to give me? I don't want it. Whatever you've got, I don't want it. So I just go to the phone call immediately. I just go to fake phone call.
Yeah. Let's get Longhorn Scott in here. Let's talk about tipping. What do you say, Longhorn Scott?
So, by the way, at the Galleria Mall, I've gone there a few times during COVID to get a Smoothie King and get some steps or whatever, you know, kind of use that as a gauge to see, like, what the hell's going on.
I've been there with you.
You know, our business is open. This is earlier in the thing. But so I would tell you that the Israeli sea salt people, don't sleep on them, dude. They are out, and they are still doing their thing, man. There's quite a few of those kiosks there, but I don't know why. But talking about CC's Pizza, there's one on 290, kind of near Bingle, I think. And back in the day when I was tubby fat guy. And back before I, you know, found myself in atrial fibrillation one day and realized that I, those 40 extra pounds I was carrying around wasn't all that great for me, I would eat feces because why not, right? I mean, it's not great, but, you know, it's a lot of it. And but that one on 290 was the weirdest thing. I never had this happen anywhere else. I'd walk in, and they'd give you the big aggressive, "Hey, welcome to CC's." You know, and everyone in the everyone on the line would be like, "Hey, good morning, welcome to CC's." All of them. You're like, it was uncomfortable. And then the manager that was there for many, many years, or at least many months, he would say, "Can I get an ole on the buffet? 1, 2, 3."
Oh, no, we can't do that.
To say, "Ole!"
No, we can't do that.
It was like,
I don't want participatory.
I felt embarrassed for them.
I don't want to ask.
I'm like,
yeah.
When did this? Like, how does this become a like a Latin like?
Hey, CC's, we've got a birthday today, and all the people working the buffet have to go there.
By the way, it's
we got a birthday right today. It's CC's. It's CC's. We got a birthday today. Ole. Olay!
It's like
no, no.
That thing is not unique to Scott's 290. It the CCs that I used to go to way back when near my home, they did the same thing. When you walk in, it's like, "Welcome to CCs."
Corporate
like,
mandate.
I'm like, please, please.
Don't. I go into Starbucks. Hey, Lance.
Don't
like, hey guys, just I don't need all this heat. And like all four of them, Lance. Hey, Lance. Lance. Hello. How are you? Having a good day, Lance? I'm like, guys, I know Starbucks is telling you to do this. I'm in here every day. You got me. I'm addicted to caffeine. You don't have to keep your customer. Did they make you feel like you're a part? I get these surveys. Did was your beverage fresh and delicious? Yeah, fine. Five, whatever. Was it a good value? Three.
I never fill out a survey anymore.
Did you fill
every
out?
Every time they ask.
Well,
no,
if they give me some stars. If they give me some stars on my app, I'll do it real quick. Oh, did they make you feel a part? Did they recognize you by name? And I'm like, oh, this is why they're doing this. Yeah. Can y'all stop? I don't want you yelling out my name.
My barista at Starbucks, Jonathan. Hi, John. Every morning. Hi, John.
Yeah, no.
Like, hey,
yeah,
Jonathan.
Cool. I like how you call them baristas, though.
That's their title.
You are,
What they are. What do you want me to call them? Coffee guy?
I mean.
What would you like them to
call? Some people feel like they're more baristas than others. The one who are pulling on all that steam that, you know, putting the foam in it or whatever. That's more of the barista. The one who makes the smile, the heart.
The smiley face?
The heart out of your whatever it is.
Your cream.
That's more barista. Is it a barista if you're just sticking with some tongs, sticking some egg bites in the little. I want to get one of those ovens. Oh, boy, they cook fast.
But they're the ones that are serving the food. They're not serving the drinks.
Yeah, they're not baristas.
But how do you know they're not baristas? And they switch.
Yeah, maybe
you know
they
what?
Have,
I'm not going to be at the station the
they
whole
share
day.
Roles. They
you,
switch around.
Do you move up?
Maybe
you move up in the company
maybe
to barista?
Maybe you cross-train and you do all of it.
Yeah, you got to train. And when
the hardest one is
when you're
earphones.
Good enough, like Jonathan, then you become a barista.
Black Power says, he goes, "Are you supposed to tip movers? I had a moving company expect a tip for moving." I'm telling you, tipping is one of the hardest things because you don't know who I would never tip movers.
Yeah, yeah, except.
You do?
Well, yeah, we did. Well, absolutely. We just did it, and we tipped them, absolutely.
$12 an hour is not enough?
Well, no. They worked hard.
No, it's kind of a joke. Moving is the worst. My dad tried to get me a job as a mover.
Dude,
when
it
I was
eight, 18
or 19 in New Orleans, I'm like, this in New Orleans
worst.
In the summer as
it's,
a mover.
Yeah, man. Well,
luckily that fell through, and I got to work at a Daiquiri's and Cream's drive-thru. It was the
bucks
best.
Each. Gave him 50 bucks each. Three kids. Three guys.
You gave him 50 bucks
each?
Well, and moving's not cheap.
Dude, it was like from 7 in the morning until 6 at night. They earned. I don't care how much they made. They earned it.
I didn't say they didn't.
No.
Man, I got to come out of my pocket for $150 more dollars if I move?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're at an age right now. Well, once you get to a certain level financially, and it doesn't have to be a high level, moving is just like, I ain't ever doing this again. I moved like 7 times in 10 years. It was the worst.
We got a bunch of stuff in the garage. We're going to get movers. I'll give them whatever to bring all the stuff upstairs. Because sitting in the garage.
I'm telling you right now.
I'll give them
next
whatever.
Next time I have to move.
Anybody want on Twitch? Who wants to do it?
Your mover is like with cutting the grass for me. At this point, I did it for 20 plus years. I'm done.
It ain't worth it.
I'm not
the price
doing it
point,
anymore.
The price hasn't gone up.
Yeah, I'm not doing it anymore.
It's not worth it.
746 ESPN 97.5. We got to talk about Jeff Aronoff. And if you're moving, I'm telling you, he'll move the earth for you. Jeff Aronoff, and literally, he'll move the earth for you, especially if you're putting in a patio, right? So he's got to move the earth. He's got to put in the tile. He's got to put in that patio. And he'll and here's the thing is he'll help you do it. He'll help you pick the stuff. He'll help. He'll design it. He will do all of that. He'll look at your backyard and say, okay, we got to do this and this and this and here. And here's your options. I will go with this. He's done so much, so many jobs. He knows exactly what you need, what your house will need, what will look good, what's hot right now, what everybody is doing. I mean, he'll make it look, and that's the key to it, looking really beautiful and more and more valuable because you're adding value to your home. So that's exactly what you want to do. And this is what Jeff does every day. So if you're looking for that big job, whatever it is that you got to do, you got to redo that kitchen, you want to do that outside, you want to redo bathrooms and living rooms. He does all of that. All you got to do is give him a call and let him start. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Do you tip at Luby's?
No, I don't go to Luby's. I'm not 100 years old. Okay, what the hell?
That's why Luby's so what close. Do you think about your league and how its progressiveness now?
Wow. I talked to... yesterday to an African-American GM candidate. What John's talking about is any team that has either a black, coordinator who goes into becomes a head coach or a personnel man who becomes head coach, they get two third-round comp picks.
So if let's say, Eric Bieniemy gets a head coaching job.
Oh, they have Ryan Poles over there, too.
Yeah.
If both of those guys got jobs, they'd get four third-round picks.
Wow. Yeah.
Four comp
picks. For developing, not the team that hires him as the head coach.
Right.
The team that develops him as a coordinator.
Well, I think it's also a way for them to kind of push them out, like not try to block. You know what this is? This prevents you from blocking is one of the things it does. Alonzo got blocked. Now, that would have been as an assistant GM with the Texans. So I think I've told this story before. Rick Smith tried to hire Alonzo Highsmith as assistant GM about maybe 6 or 7 years ago, and Ted Thompson blocked it. Yeah. Probably 7 years ago, and Ted Thompson blocked it, which sucks. But it's because Green Bay didn't want to lose him. But for Alonzo, it would have been a good move. It would have been a really good move.
Yeah, since he lived here too. So, yeah. I mean, it would have been a great move. He wanted to do it, and he wanted to go. And
would have been a step up for him.
Yeah, and it's funny. I guess that I don't know if that didn't fit into the category because they can't block you if you're moving up in job. But apparently, that's not a big enough step up. So Ted Thompson was able to block it. But it poses the question: Kansas City Chiefs got Eric Bieniemy. Suppose it was the Raiders who had an open job. Do the Raiders want to hire Eric Bieniemy now in the division, giving them two third rounders?
Well, they don't have to give it to him. It comes from the league.
No, I know. Do they want to give them two third rounders?
If you think you have a chance to win with your head coach, it's more important what you get as a head coach.
Yeah, there's a lot of bust head coaches.
You know, the guy I talked to yesterday said that he said that they expect four job openings this offseason at Atlanta, Houston, Detroit, and Jacksonville at GM.
Oh, at GM.
Could be both. But at GM. Well, probably will be both. But definitely at GM. He said, of those four, because this guy had already studied all of them, he goes, of those four, Houston's fourth.
Right now.
In terms of being able to win right away.
And?
He said, it doesn't make it impossible, but he said, you know, the problem is if you got Jack there, and this is another guy who brought up Jack. He said, if you got Jack there and you don't think you have the owner, you don't think you're a direct, you know, a GM is a direct contact to the owner. He goes, that's a tough sell because it's not like you just have this unbelievable situation. He said they did a really bad deal. And he brought this up. He goes, Lance, the deals for Tunsil and Deshaun are embarrassing. DeAndre. You gave up a three-year – the three – no. Tunsil and Deshaun.
Oh.
He goes, the three-year deals are atrocious. Nobody in the league would have given up a three-year deal to those guys. Those are mainstays, and you gave them top-of-the-line money. And in return, you get years. That's how it works. And the Texans didn't do it. So we would have to take over a job. He said, if I came in, I got to take over a job where I've got a guy before he hits 30 getting his third contract. And he said, and there's gonna and the salary cap is going to go up, and the amount of money is going to be unbelievable. So you have to hit with your quarterback if you're going to pay him. He said the second thing is no draft picks, and the third thing is they're just rosters just not that good, and which is everything that you and I've talked about. And he said, so the Texans, he goes, they really need to remove Jack as a barrier, because it's not like that you say, well, I'll deal with Jack because the situation's so good in Houston. He goes, that's not the case.
Right.
And I said, well, if you were considered for Houston, would you think about taking it? He goes, honestly, if I were interviewing for all four of the jobs, I'm probably if Houston's fourth, I'm probably not taking that job, because it means there's issues that I don't want to mess with.
Yeah.
He said, but his now, point
if it was
the
last job, he'd take it.
I think he said he wouldn't, because he'd wait for a better job.
Really?
Yeah, but he did say he thinks it is, you're able to, he said he does think you could clean this up in 2 years. He said, I think it's, you're able to clean it up in 2 years. He said something about cutting JJ. I said, okay, you could cut him. I said, but what if you got a draft pick for him instead? He said, well, it just depends. He said, because I brought up Green Bay, he said, if I got a late third, which is basically a compensatory pick for JJ, I might think there's better value in getting rid of his salary cap spot, so I could bring in a legitimate core player with his free agent money. He said, because he said $17-18 million is a lot of money in the NFL for certain positions. And he said, I could bring in a really good core player. If I cut JJ and free that money up, he said that might have more value than, he said, you know, than a pick that's in the '90s or in the late eighties with Green Bay. And I said, okay, that makes sense. I've always just assumed you'd make the trade. He goes, if you could get two picks for it, it has more value. He said, if you get a late second, that'd be great. He said, but I don't know if you can get a late second right now for JJ. And I said, well, I hope you can.
Yeah.
He goes, well, let me put it this way. We ain't giving it. I said, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Well, I mean, if you're desperate enough, though, and for 17 and a half, That definitely figures into what am I giving up for him too? I'm giving up that, and I'm giving him $17.5 million. That figures in.
And it's only 1 year. If for 3 years, and you know you have a guy for 3 years, that actually adds value. But for 1 year, $17.5 million. You kind of, if you're going to give up a second, then you want to. Your expectation is you're getting an extension with that player. And is JJ a guy you want to extend right now?
Yeah.
That kind of money. I don't know. Just give us something good, Green Bay. I'm tired of messing with you.
And you can have Will Fuller, too, if you want him.
Uh-oh. According to Tim McMahon,
yep,
James Harden and Russell Westbrook have expressed concerns about uncertainty of Rockets' immediate future. Sources told Woj and me, no trade requests have been made, and Harden in particular remains engaged with front office and personnel discussions. Culture change.
In the wake of the departures of head coach Mike D'Antoni, Daryl Morey, Harden and Westbrook have expressed concern about the direction of the franchise through direct conversations or discussions with their representatives in the Rockets front office. However, the concerns expressed by Harden and Westbrook's Houston window as a contender could be closing has left the organization fearful that the superstar's commitment to remaining with the Rockets could be wavering. Great. I think this is all positive. Yeah. I mean, he's got to play. He's got three seasons left, including a $46.9 million player option in 2022-23. Goodness gracious! And then Westbrook, forget about it. $135 million left. $46.7 million player option. The two of them. Are you kidding me? It's $94 million between the two of them in 2022-23. See ya. Are you kidding me? And they're, well, I'm worried about the direction. Just shut up and take your money. Holy crap. I'm worried about the direction. Go play in Philly. Go. And let them pay you to not win championships. See ya. Bye. Bye, Felicia. 757 ESPN.
You saying just to Russ?
Huh?
You're saying just both to Russ.
Bye.
Yeah, get something.
Can well, yeah, you're going to get something.
The Knicks package that'll come back for when you trade Russ. You get yourself some Frank Nikakina, some, what's his other, what's some
RJ
Barrett.
Are you kidding? All the players they got in New York? They're just nonstop.
Some Julius Randle, possibly. I don't even know if he's a free agent or not. Can you imagine the package the Knicks could put together
you could
for
get
the Rockets?
Such, well, yeah. Such I mean, average to below average dudes.
Just totally, totally sweet what you can get. What you can get? Expiring contracts.
Here's what I would do. For me, Luka has not lived up to the hype.
Yeah. Right.
And what I would do is have a more seasoned scorer like a James Harden.
Uh-huh.
And I just flip those guys head to head.
You
Harden,
just want a one for
you
one.
Get more points out of James, a well, more efficient player, a better 3-point shooter.
Well, you're gonna the how about they send back a couple more players? You got to make the salaries match.
Yeah, you got to make salaries match. So who do you suggest, Del?
I don't know. You want to get Dwight Powell? Not what's his name? I forgot that he got hurt, but he's like a 6'9", 6'10", athletic.
Yeah, Powell.
Big man, Powell. You want to bring him? Over
yeah, and a first, yeah, and a first,
and a first rounder to make it all work.
Yeah, yeah. And I would so do it that. Works. Just so it works.
Right off the bat, you're getting an MVP. The Dallas Mavericks get an MVP, former MVP.
Oh, how many MVPs has Luka won?
And league scoring title? None.
None, zero. Yeah.
I'm sorry, did Luka, was he in the top three last year? Nope.
Well, if you want to be a winner and you want to be with the winners, that's the Loken Group. They consistently sell homes other agents can't sell. I got a buddy, I'm going to tell, dude, just go with Lance Loken. He's had his house on the market for like 2 years. Dude, your people can't sell, all right? Let the Loken Group come in and sell it. They've got more access to more people, more buyers than anybody does, the most. And that's the whole thing, is they make an auction-like. It's not a sale anymore. It's like an auction. People bidding against each other. 2 days, 46 showings, 19 offers. Are you kidding me? 19 offers in 2 days? This happened to Gary and Bessie, and they loved it. Now, you want an immediate cash offer? Got it. That's what they'll do. And listen, you've got to have the Loken Group because they're the best. They're the biggest and the best. And the Kellen Williams Platinum Group, they're number one. Number one. The average days on market for an average agent is 49 days, just 32 days for the Loken Group. Lance and his team sell a home on average every 2 hours. Every 2 hours, these people sell a home. That's how good they are. So if you're looking for that kind of realtor, the one that's actually going to sell your home for top dollar, TheLokenGroup.com, L-O-K-E-N. TheLokenGroup.com, 281-861-4624.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do